right. Call the meeting to order. First item of business is approval of the minutes. I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
Any discussion? Any edits?
Not for me.
Not for me either. Good job, Mike. So, seeing no objections, all those in favor of approving the minutes say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Minutes are approved. Moving down to approval of loans. I move to approve the loans.
I second.
Chief Investment Officer, would you like to just walk us through the loans for the meeting today?
Sure. They have been approved for public purpose by the Department of Justice. The only one that's a little bit unusual is Cedar Grove is borrowing $2 million for park improvements. That entails building a sports complex. The other ones are fairly standard renovation and equipment purchases. Whiting is going through a project, and they're borrowing separate funds for their sewer and water projects within that road project. Other than that, pretty standard fare.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I noticed that the company is at Cedar Grove is at 375. Did they have
20 years? That's our current rate.
Is there anything? Did you get any details about the water project?
No, I just think it's the infrastructure underneath the road.
Got it.
And the reason that they're separate is because they're separate funding sources eventually. These are just interim construction loans. They'll pay us off as soon as the permanent loans come in.
Got it.
The thing about our loan program is that each draw is technically treated as a separate loan, so they will get a separate amortization schedule for it. And so if they are using different streams of revenue, it's easier for the local municipality to keep them separate.
So, like, manage that. Okay. We're just kind of bridge financing.
Right.
Okay.
And they went 5 years on it just because I don't know that they have their permanent financing in place yet, and our rate is the same for 2 years and 5 years, and
right.
up to 10 years right now.
Right.
So, if they can have the flexibility of going longer, if that makes sense for them in the long term, that's a good thing for them.
Okay. Josh, any questions about the loan?
None for me.
All right, I don't have any questions either. So all those in favor of approving the loan, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, John.
Great. There is no old business. There's no new business. So we'll just go into routine business, and we will start with the Chief Investment Officer report.
I included a narrative page and some additional reports. The only thing that I think it's pretty self-explanatory. The only thing I would like to point out is that our fixed income portfolio right now is performing very well, as it has for the past several years. On a risk-adjusted basis relative to our benchmark, we are overachieving our benchmark, beating our benchmark by 1.41%, which is pretty extraordinary, and increases the quarterly income of our fixed income portfolio by nearly $4 million over what it would earn if it was invested in the benchmark, which is the S&P Taxable Municipal Bond Fund Index. Other than that, there's a chart that shows the calculations in that benchmark comparison. I did change the format of the investment transaction report to provide some additional information for the board. I thought that it might be important for the board to get a regular report regarding outstanding commitments. And then I broke it down more closely related to the way that our asset allocation is organized. So if you have any comments or questions regarding the transaction report, if you prefer the old way of doing it versus the new way, or however, if there's additional information you want to see, please let me know, and we can certainly add that into future reports. That's all I have.
So I guess two things on that, Rich. I think one, I like this format better personally.
Okay.
And then just because I think it helps show the asset allocation and how we're working to diversify, since
right.
that's been a goal of ours. Just a second piece that I think might be helpful while we have Josh on the line is, can you maybe talk about the outstanding commitments?
Yes. We have made prior commitments to venture capital funds of $30 million. We have an outstanding commitment that we haven't completed the paperwork for of another $7.5 million. But venture capital funds will only call those commitments when they have an investment in place, when they have signed a deal to acquire a company and need some funds from the limited partners. That's when they'll contact us to actually fund part of that commitment. And so far, of that $30 million, they have requested, I believe it's just under $10 million from us to fund those initial venture capital funds. And we've commitments to two funds. One is Venture Investors, and the other one is 4490, which are two local venture capital funds that we have a high degree of confidence in. The other commitments that I'm showing are outstanding loan commitments, which are loans that the board has approved in the past. After the board approves a loan, the community has up to 4 months to borrow those funds. And so those are commitments that the board has approved, but have not yet been, the loan has not been dispersed yet. And so we would expect those funds to be dispersed over the next several months. The other commitments are the real estate fund commitments that we've talked about over the past few months. The investment committee has made oral commitments of $90 million with another $30 million that was approved in October. So it didn't show up on the September report, but it will show up on the next report.
We should talk about the paper.
So are all these commitments, I guess, are done? We're just waiting for them to call.
Well, no. The real estate commitments have not been formalized. We are waiting for the paperwork to be completed on those.
On our end for the paperwork?
Yes.
Okay.
It takes a legal review of the commitment papers, and we are working on that.
Okay. Is there anything we can do to expedite that?
I would say that hiring outside counsel that has familiarity with this type of documentation would be appropriate.
Okay.
We, you know, from my understanding, though, the it takes the governor's approval to hire outside counsel.
DOJ has to authorize it first, and then the governor.
Okay. Okay.
So I guess maybe just for me for next time is to, if you guys could provide us an update on, are we able to pass the ball over to these real estate funds? Because my concern is that the longer we take to get this paperwork done on our end, you know, markets change, things change, and I want to make sure that, you know, once we leave, this leaves the committee, we're doing everything we can to get this through, to get this money locked in so we're out of the queue and we're actually in the fund.
No, I agree. We have all of the documents in hand. It's just the local BCPL review of those documents that is on hold right now. Well, not on hold is probably the wrong phrase, but that's the status.
Okay. So can we just make sure, Mike, that we give an update on this for the next meeting?
Sure.
Great. Josh, any questions on that?
Just wondering who does that review.
The only person here who could do that review. That would be me. Unless we would get authorization from DOJ to hire outside counsel and get approval from the governor's office as well.
Josh, this is Jonathan. There's an argument to be made that it would be beneficial to have that third-party check of an outside counsel involved in evaluating some of these investment deals.
Yeah, is this a non-standard transaction? Is that why it's taking?
First of all, these are not things that we do every day. Each of these documents has hundreds of pages, and that would be on top of all the other responsibilities that I have at the current time. We are filling several vacancies here, and as the chief HR officer for the agency as well, that is my responsibility. And the fact is, there is too much to do and too little time to do it all. It's about the best way to describe it.
Is the volume of transactional work that is being done sufficient that we ought to have somebody who's full-time doing that, or is it sporadic enough that that's not warranted?
At this point, I would say it's sporadic because we have not encountered this volume of transactional work when it comes to this type of review. But we're entering a different world. The fact is, up until recently, we had not bought any limited partnership interests. And so the first couple times that we did it, we were able to structure it in a way that, in essence, for the venture capital funds, the outside counsel was purchased through proceeds of the investment. But when we get into these real estate funds, that's not possible. These are open-ended. There are no additional proceeds available at closing to pay for that. And so that's why this would require the AG's approval and then the governor's approval to hire that outside counsel.
And you're just referring to the governor's for the special counsel statute?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You're just referring to the governor's use of the special counsel statute, is that right?
Yes.
Do you have any sense of what the... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I stepped on you. You go ahead.
I was just going to ask if we have any sense of what the cost would be, and it sounds like it would be an ongoing expenditure sort of as contracts come up. Is that right, or?
Yes, that would be the best way of describing it. I would imagine each of these would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000, I would imagine, for the review, so.
That's the number I was thinking.
Josh, this is Jonathan. We're filling the pipeline right now, and it's sort of all new for us. It's brand new investments, and so I would guess that there's a sort of a clump of them right now, and that then they'll back off and become a little bit more regular. But we don't have the in-house expertise except for Tom. When we had Mark Epley from the business school, he concurred with the idea that right now bringing in outside third-party counsel would be a valuable thing for us, both in terms of getting the work done and in having a third-party evaluation of the deal we're structuring.
Is this something that Tom or Jonathan, that either of you have been in touch with anybody at DOJ about?
We have not been in touch with anybody at DOJ about this. We have tried to engage outside counsel for different purposes, and that didn't go anywhere. And so that's one of the things we're looking forward to talking to you about in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I can certainly do is just check. I doubt we have anybody who's an expert in the type of transactional work you'd be looking at here. So, I think there's probably a case to be made that outside counsel may make sense. But I think it would be helpful, and Sarah, if you please feel free to weigh in here. But, I think it would be helpful to have a recommendation from the staff about, how we ought to proceed on this issue if there are insufficient resources such that it's impacting our ability to, get things done in a timely fashion.
Josh, this is Sarah. I think that is a great recommendation. And Tom and Jonathan, please chime in. I think, my concern, but I think the reality is that ever since we were grateful in getting Prudent Investor Standard, complexities of finances has just changed. And so as a result, this organization is still working under a more fixed income portfolio. and not under a much more complicated financial portfolio, which quite frankly is in the benefit of our beneficiaries having this sort of flexibility with our investment standards. But with responsibility comes complexity, and we're not able to, I think, navigate it as quickly as we would like to, especially in a changing market. And so that's just one thing that I worry about, is our ability to make these deals quickly, knowing that we need the legal counsel. And we have Tom, who's not only the deputy, he's also our chief counsel, which is not even in the position description scope.
Actually, it is.
Oh, good. So but they're both, and HR, so I think we just need to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success.
The deputy position now has a contemplation of being a lawyer. That's within the PD. And that was done consciously on the part of Tom and myself, anticipating the future here.
But there's nothing in statute that talks about that role, serving in counsel or anything like that, quite frankly, in this organization.
I was the best of my knowledge, I was the first lawyer in 160 years to walk through the doors.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess, just kind of circling back to Josh's recommendation, is that a good next step?
Sure. He's been afraid of time maybe.
Yes.
Okay. So Josh, at the next meeting, we'll talk about a recommendation.
That makes sense.
But I'd like to do it at the board meeting, too. Great. And Mike took that down. Any other questions on the Chief Investment Report? But I appreciate that outstanding commitment and structure, Rich.
Thank you.
A good change. Josh, any comments on the report?
No, none for me. I like the structure, too.
Great. Okay. Jonathan.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of anticlimactic at the moment, but I shared an email a little while ago that my intention is to retire on January 3rd. Sarah probably is as familiar with the process as am I, as was Tom. You know, if I give you a firm date, which that is now in writing, and an indication is made to hire from within for the position that I'm in, we can then immediately start filling the vacancy of the deputy if that's the case. So we could fill this. That's my plan here, is have this position effectively filled by first of the year, if we don't change the PD very substantially.
So, I do have an update on that. But I guess my first comment is, Jonathan, is thank you for serving.
Well, thank you. This has been a wonderful experience, as I said in that note to you today. This is just a terrific agency with fine staff and a very worthwhile mission. It's been a pleasure to be here.
I call it Wisconsin STEM, so thanks for being at the helm for how many years?
Just a little over four.
For 4 years? Mm-hmm. Through two administrations?
Yeah, you know, actually through some trials and tribulations of a funny board member and a legislature that was out for gunning for us. So we persevered.
We look forward to reading your memoirs.
I'll make sure I put you in them.
Oh, great. I can only imagine. I appreciate the email. I didn't want to respond at all. I'm just sensitive of open meetings rules. So here's kind of my recommendation and how we move forward, because I do want to be it timely. I do want to make sure we've got an appointment. So, Josh, I'm just kind of outlining the three things. One is for us to review at the next meeting the kind of overall position description of the executive secretary, because there's really not much in statute that talks about what the executive secretary does besides like land type of things that was, I think, antiquated back to 1848. And I want to make sure that with this agency changing in the way that it has, that we just are capturing those things to make sure that we are all on the same page. I think that also then correlates with just high-level goals we want to make sure the organization is working towards, at least as the next 3 years. So those two things. And then I would like to put on the agenda for the commissioners to potentially discuss promotion internally through the convening of a closed session, because it's employment and promotion of an internal person. So if those three things can be added to the agenda, we don't have to necessarily go into closed session, but I'd like for it to be listed if we decide to vote on that. But the exemption rule is 19.852, and it's about promotion and employment of a state employee. So those are the three things that I'm kind of thinking about. One is I want to make sure we're on the same page with what this person is doing, knowing that it's clearly evolved. Two, that we're on the same page with goals. And then three, just kind of looking at talking about internal promotion. So I guess I want to make sure. Josh, any questions about that?
I think that makes sense. The one question I have is just what the how the process works, or if we're still figuring that out with DOA, as to the requirements for the hiring process.
So there's really no process. I've been talking a lot with DOA about that. The one thing that has not been clear is that I'm still waiting for an answer on is, even if there's like an interim quick thing we have to do with the role of acting, and what does that mean? But they've been pretty loose around what that process can be. I'll be honest, Josh, more or less, I've been working with your open governments department and kind of talking through how we do this. Just to make sure that we are having these conversations in ways that are appropriate. That's been, I think, the big piece of it. But there really is no outlined process. And honestly, unfortunately, if you look at how Jonathan was appointed, it was kind of a chaotic situation. I don't think that was best practice by any means.
Oh, it was marvelously practiced. There are basically no rules about the executive secretary.
Yeah, I know.
And you can change the position on the fly.
I know.
But there are very serious rules on civil service for the deputy secretary.
Totes. And so that, I think, is making sure, too, that we're, I think, doing things differently than what was done before, and I think that that's a good thing. So to answer your question, Josh, no, there are no rules that are, like, statutes that outline a formal process, and looking at formal statutes associated with the responsibilities of the executive secretary, there's really three things that deal with lands, and I'm happy to forward you that section, chapter 24.041, but it's not really, I think, specific to what this agency looks like today, and so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page with regards to kind of the core responsibilities, the goals we hope this person achieves, and then going into a closed session and talking about, like, internal promotion.
Can I talk about, I'd like to just talk briefly about timing. We have a scheduled in-person meeting on November 12th for
okay.
the investment plan and policy.
Yep.
And before that, we have no scheduled meetings at all because the November 5th meeting has been canceled. Both these guys are going to be in San Diego
okay.
at the financial conference. So you may wish to speed this up by having a telephone conference meeting on the issues that you just raised when people are still here and before that November 12th meeting, because that'll fill all the oxygen in the room on the investment plan.
Investment plan's on the 12th, right?
Right, and it's scheduled, and everybody can make it so far.
Okay.
Then the other point I'd make is that there is some need to expedite this, I think, if you want to get all the positions, the complement filled by early in the year. This is a pretty small shop, and right now everybody is sort of working quite diligently because we got thrown a loop when Denise was ill for a while, but she's such a trooper. She worked right from home. But it's a good idea to have a full complement as soon as possible.
Josh, any questions about? Yeah.
Yeah, just two follow-ups. One is just to clarify. So am I right to understand from some of the comments that it's the executive secretary position is not a civil service position?
It's not.
It's not. It's an appointment.
It's a direct appointment of the board, usually done by the chair of the board in consultation with the board. And it's an at-pleasure appointment, Josh.
I see.
The deputy, on the other hand, is a civil service position and is ranked as an 8101 in the career status of state service.
And that person is hired by the executive secretary.
Correct, with a process that has to be followed, with posting it or anything. You want to
And so just so we're on the same page, so the plan would be at the next meeting to discuss those issues that you laid out, Sarah. But I assume
yes.
We wouldn't be making a decision at that point.
I mean, I think that there could be an opportunity to make a decision. I think for me, let's make sure we're on the same page with the high-level position description. Let's make sure we're on the same page with what the responsibilities are, and then I think let's go into a closed session about internal promotion. But I think to Jonathan's point, which is a point that I think I did not think about, is do we do this as a separate agenda item, a standalone meeting potentially on November 3rd or the 5th, and we just kind of go into these three areas with regards to personnel.
Are you guys going to be here on the 5th?
But I guess part of it.
Don't need to be.
Well, it does.
Having lived through this before, it's hard to do those as a telephonic meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, but it is difficult if you're starting out in one type of meeting and then you're going into a closed session. Now you have to have another phone line that you're going into that no one else is to call into.
Yeah, yeah.
Could this be tied to the November 12th meeting?
So it could be tied to the November 12th meeting, but I think all the commissioners then would have to realize this is going to be a long meeting.
As long as you don't think that is too late in the process, given the points that Jonathan just made, I would be inclined to add it on to that meeting so it's all the same day.
The one caution I would give you is that if you're going to add it on to the 12th, then I would encourage you to be prepared to actually vote on that day as well, because you cannot start the new recruitment for a deputy until you figured out who the executive secretary is going to be. So the 12th is virtually a month from now. So, and because of how long it takes to fill a position like that, plus that particular person, whoever it may be, would probably want to give sufficient notice to whoever their current employer is. We're talking about a considerable period of time there.
Well, the other option would be that we could have a meeting just on the executive secretary position sooner rather than later, and then add the other items to the larger meeting.
There is another Tuesday this month to do the 29th.
It doesn't even have to be a Tuesday.
Well, that's true. It wouldn't have to be Tuesday, but Tuesday happens to work in schedules.
My suggestion would be that we try to get something scheduled for that between now and the November 12th meeting.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the dates that Doug is in town.
I'll, yeah.
Because I have them right here.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he doesn't give us a lot of room. I mean...
Well, he's going to be here the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th of October.
I know, and I'm traveling those days. I'm in Green Bay, and then I'm in Western Wisconsin. So I can call in telephonically, and Doug and Josh can meet in person. I think this is, like, the challenge, is, like, getting us all in person.
Right.
It's literally, like, the 3 days that Doug's in town. Right. I'm, like, in October, I am, like, not here.
Tom is right. The telephonic meeting for something like this is awkward, But it can be done.
I totally get it. So here's kind of my just initial thought. Let's try to get a meeting earlier and see if we can work with Doug's schedule. And Josh, of course, your schedule. If we can't do it, I think at least we know we have a date on the calendar. But when we have like 5 dates to work with, mm-hmm. and like 3 of the dates, I know for me, I cannot reschedule. And I don't know what Doug's situation is, and we don't know what Josh's are. So this is where I just want to make sure. I would rather do it earlier. I think it comes down to...
I'll take the responsibility of trying to find a common date.
Great.
And I'd like it earlier in October. I'd recommend that if you could do that. And really, you need to do one thing is if you're working internally, you just need to make a designation of who's going to be appointed executive secretary. Then the personnel department will permit us to go start a hire for the deputy.
Right. But as I've said, I just want to make sure we're on the same page with what this position is doing, what we're working towards, and then we like hire towards that.
Okay.
So that's why I've outlined the 3 things that would be talked
Good.
About at the agenda.
Okay.
So I guess the action from that is we will try to find another meeting, and Jonathan, you will work on that.
Yep.
Okay. And then we have the agenda already set, and I would probably say, it's like a 90-minute meeting is what I had set for that.
And I do have a second conference line that we can do for closed session.
Okay. Let's hope we don't have to do that.
But it can be done.
Right.
If you're only doing one topic, it's pretty easily done.
Right. But I think it's a good point about in-person is always better.
It's easier.
It is. And I'll bring oatmeal raisin cookies. Okay. Josh, any questions about that?
No, none for me.
Okay.
I do want to echo what you were saying about thank you, Jonathan, for your outstanding
you,
service
John.
To the state.
It's actually been a pleasure and in a way a blessing. I've just enjoyed this job a lot. And I think we've done some worthwhile things thanks to, frankly, a foundation that was laid by Tia Nelson and Tom and the staff here. We had a little rough sailing with some issues in the legislature and a challenging board member, but we're all right now. We're well positioned, and thank you, Josh.
Well, we will clearly be celebrating
mm-hmm.
The great service. So, any other future agenda items? I think we covered them. Okay.
I think so.
Nothing for me.
Great. I move
thank
to
you.
Adjourn.
I second.
Great. All those in favor of adjournment say aye. Aye.
Aye, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Which button?
That one.